Good morning, Discovery. We're so glad that you're with us. Welcome to September.
Hey, do you remember us? It's Tracy and Pastor John. It's been a little while since we've been together with you on live stream, and we're so excited to be back.
Although I was here last week, That's true. kind of like a lo-fi live stream because we're in the middle of Love Tacoma, and we've met in the parking lot. So
we've had quite a summer. August and August, it's September. Fall is coming at us, and man, you know what fall means, right, John?
I know what fall means. Mm-hmm. It means killing things, hunting.
No, what is wrong with you? And football, that's probably what you're thinking of.
Football.
I'm thinking of
football,
other things.
Like flags.
Like sweaters and...
Yeah, sweaters.
Fall leaves and back to
school.
And guess what? Discovery is going back to school.
That's right.
I don't know if you've heard the news, but... We, after what, 11 long years in middle school?
Yeah, that's about how long it took me.
We are graduating now to meeting in a high school.
That's right.
Discovery, starting next Sunday, September 12th, we'll be meeting in Lincoln High School here in Tacoma, in the heart of the city. And it is the second oldest high school in Tacoma, and a beautiful auditorium. We will have our place of worship right there at Lincoln High School. It's our next space to meet, and we're just praying God goes before us and blesses this new season. We're bringing kind of all of our campuses together at
That's right.
Lincoln starting next Sunday.
So I know it's moving fast, and it's, some of these doors have opened kind of fast, so this brings some changes. So first of all, our live stream will change a little bit next week. We think for the better, but it's going to start a little bit later next week. We're going to start a live stream around 10 o'clock, maybe a few minutes before. And so join us next week for live stream. And our service at Lincoln will be at the same time. So our live stream and all of our campuses will all be together. So we'll still be having some personal hosting times.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think
we will
see
you guys on live stream.
Yeah.
And all the services, like you said, 10 a.m. But if you are able, if you're willing, we do invite people to come and meet early to kind of get us set up and ready. We're still going to have... Of course, our greeting and hospitality space for kids. There won't be a green folding chair in sight that we have to set up. But if you want to lend a helping hand and participate, what time should people arrive?
So here's the thing is, if you can come join us, we're going to do things a little different than we did a few years ago. At 8 a.m. every Sunday, we're going to have some coffee for you. We'll have maybe a donut. But here's three things we're going to have for you. We're going to have an opportunity for you to pray. Mm. We're going to have somebody for you to meet. And we're going to have things for you to do. So if you can come and join us at 8 o'clock on next Sunday. Mm-hmm. So September 12th, 19th, and 26th. These are going to be called, we're going to call them our preview services. We're going to be going in to get our hands dirty. We're going to get used to the new space, get things ready for our guests. And we're going to have our official grand opening on October 3rd. But it takes all of us. And so we'd love to have you come. Come jump in, help us set up, help us tear down, help us be a part of this really great next step in the life of Discovery as we minister in the city.
Speaking of the life of Discovery and ministering in the city of Tacoma, I think of a banner over Discovery as a place where we've just longed to offer a taste of heaven to this city from the very beginning of our existence. And this summer, Discovery, you totally did that. We had an incredible summer, a group of interns that went out into city parks and shared the gospel with kids. Last Sunday was Love Tacoma Sunday. We're so grateful for everyone who participated. We've had several teams that have gone out on mission, and it's just not been an idle time for the life of this church. And we're so grateful to God for those opportunities and that they will continue. We also know that not just in our city, but abroad, there's a lot of things happening that we need to continue to join together as God's people and pray. We know that there is a dire situation in Afghanistan for the believers there, and we're going to take some time together to pray and also pray over your prayer requests. So even now, if you see that text a prayer line, we invite you to use that this morning and share with us how we can join you in prayer as we come before God and worship together this morning.
Yeah, what a privilege it is to worship together. If you would, I want you to take a minute and pray with us as we enter into worship. And we will take a minute even now to remember some of the things that are going on around the world, because I think worship is its most powerful in view of the challenges that we all face. And
right.
I know that some of you are facing some very, very big and significant personal challenges, even as we as a nation are facing some significant challenges in our world. So let's bring those before the Father, and let's then enter in a time of worship, and let's talk about how to, even in our worship, we're going to talk about how to build His kingdom. So let's take a moment and pray together. Jesus, we are so grateful that You invite us into the very throne room of God. That's an amazing privilege that we get to, like the people like us with all of our failures and our doubts, confusions.
Yeah.
You still invite us into the throne room of God, and You pave the way for us.
Thank You, Jesus.
We want to thank You today that You, Father God, are good all the time. You are good when we see it, when the sun is shining on a 71 degree day. You're good, and You're good when the wildfires are raging. You're good when the storms are slamming the coast. You are good when, even in the most tragic of moments, when people are fighting for breath and for life.
That's right.
We remember today, God, that You are good when That's things right. are not going as we wish. Somehow You, the very good God, take all things. This has been Your promise, that You take all things and You work them for good to those who love You and who are called according to Your purpose. So we stand here in this day and this time with all the challenges around us. And we stand here in these moments and we declare with our brothers and sisters in Christ that You, God, are good, and our hope is our hope is firmly fixed on You. So we ask that You build Your kingdom. You build Your kingdom here in our hearts, in our homes, in our world,
yeah.
and that You would receive all glory, for You are good.
God, we thank You that You taught us how to pray. Jesus, You said that when we come before You, we first just lift up Your name, our Father in heaven. Holy is Your name.
Mm-hmm.
We ask, God, that Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that for Discovery. We ask that for churches all over this city. We ask that for the persecuted church in Afghanistan. We ask that Your perfect will and Your power would be displayed in Your people here.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, we know You already have the victory, and we trust in that victory. We pray that You'd come and speak to our hearts this morning. Join with us, God, in a holy space of remembering who You are in worship. Our attentiveness is completely on You this morning.
I agree.
In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Well, it has been a challenging season. That's probably saying it mildly. We have been going through so many significant things over these last couple of years. Like, so these images and so many more are tragic. However, let's be real honest, they're not tragic to everybody. Let's let this sink in for a moment. The world's tragedies are not tragic to everybody. But to you and to me, to us, they're tragic. And why is that? Why are they tragic to us? Is it because we see ourselves in them? Maybe a little bit. But for Christ's followers, there's something far more significant and deeper. The book of Genesis says this. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Human beings are made in the spiritual image of God to be like him in his character. People are the supreme object of God's creation. And although every person has a tremendous potential for good, all of us are marred by the attitude of disobedience toward God called sin. This attitude separates people from God and causes many problems in life. So welcome back to Guts. Our series Guts is all about rediscovering the heart of the gospel and having the courage to live it out. And so I know we've missed a couple of weeks on this, and so it's probably hard to make a shift right back in, but we're jumping back into and unpacking what is unique and uniquely necessary for the church to rediscover in 2021, rediscover what Jesus people have held on to for 2,000 years. There are central truths to the gospel, central truths to the Christian experience that's so important for us to get back to rediscover, and to courageously live out in our world. And one of the central truths to the gospel, one of the central truths that Christian men and women have held on to for 2,000 years is a uniquely Christian concept called the Imago Dei. Let me say that again. That's called the Imago Dei. And that's this truth that every human being intentionally carries the image of God, the image of God, the Imago Dei. And that gives every human being incredibly high value. It is this truth that has fueled Christ followers for 2,000 years and how they engage in our world. It's what has fueled Christ followers to rescue orphans, to foster children, to start hospitals, schools, and universities. It is this Imago Dei that is at the root of things like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and World Vision, and even here in Tacoma, the rescue mission. It is this Imago Dei, It is this Imago Dei that fuels the, That'll help a little bit. It is this Imago Dei, this concept of, and this truth of being shaped in the image of God that fuels the yellow hats and the red hats. The men and the women who flock to places like Louisiana, the Gulf Coast, the East Coast, even those that flock to serve the men and women who are battling the wildfires in the West. This is why Christ's followers have stepped up for immigrants and children, the unborn, the imprisoned, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. In fact, this Imago Dei, this concept that every human being bears the image of God, lies at the foundation of even our own nation, where our founding fathers some 200 plus years ago, championed democracy, and in a new place, a new land, created a new nation that would be founded on something that was said, was written like this, if I can recall it quite right, it's that we're all born with certain unalienable rights. You and I, as Jesus followers, we are formed, we hold on to this truth that we are the image bearers of God. And this gives every man, every woman, every child of every nationality, ethnicity, color, shape, size, watch this, incredibly high value. We bear the image of God. And not only do we bear the image of God, watch this, we bear the favor of God. We are so deeply and incredibly loved. The most famous verse in the Bible: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God, this all begins with the Father. It begins with him. We were created by him, and we were created for him, for his glory. Every human being was created, and so he loves. He looks at every human being, not through the lenses of their skin color, not through the lenses of their social and political status. He doesn't look at a human being based on their worth to the economy. He doesn't look at a human being even based on what they have or have not done. God looks at every human being through the lenses of love. Now, there is a twist. There's an important twist. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that they would not, he says, perish. The twist is that even though we are the imago Dei, the image bearers of God and shaped by his hand, of this artistic hand, and we bear beauty and value and glory, we are also all so very marred. We have an enemy. An enemy that hides our lovableness. An enemy that causes alienation and separation. An enemy that has broken the relationship between us and God, the Almighty Father and the Source. Who is that enemy? Well, that enemy, first and foremost, is not us. If you're writing some things down this morning, I want you to take a moment and I want you to pen that. I want you to write down that the enemy is not me. And this is important. This is fundamentally important to understand. The enemy is not you. And Psalm 139 says, "For you, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And your works," I love this, "your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How precious to me are your thoughts. God, how vast is the sum of them." Write down somewhere, "I am not the enemy." This means that no human being is an accident. No human being is a mistake. Whether or not your parents planned you out, you know, decided, is irrelevant. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. Who you are is valuable to God. God has shaped you. You are not the enemy. But that also means that the people around you aren't the enemy. So there's an enemy, right? But you're not the enemy. And the people in your circle, your parents are not the enemy. the situation, circumstance that you grew up is not really the enemy. The people in your circle, your spouse, your children that you cannot control, the people that you work with that you don't understand, the neighbors around you that drive you crazy, they are not the enemy. Paul writes this in the book of Ephesians, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle isn't against the people around us. They're not the enemy. The enemy isn't the people that you don't understand, that come from a different background than you, that think different than you. They're not the enemy. Our battle isn't against other human beings, but our battle is against the rulers, Paul says, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're the image bearers of God. And that means that you and I are not the enemy. Who I am is not the enemy. Who they are, the people around me, they're not the enemy. But there is an enemy. And the enemy is simply sin. James chapter 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? In God's perfect creation, he placed inside his image bearers, the Imago Dei, he placed inside of us something unique, different than all other things in all of creation. He placed inside of you and me a soul. And that soul is the seat of your mind and your will and your emotions. Now that soul is nourished. That soul is nourished by our desires. That soul inside of every human being is thirsty and it's hungry and it's starving and it's fed only by our desires. Either our desires are our desires of the spirit, which desire the creator, or the desires inside of us of the body that desires the created. Our soul is fed by either our desires for the creator or our desires for the created. So inside every human being is a soul that is fed by desire. Now God did this so that you as a person and I as a person, us as we could be in a real relationship with him, not robots, not sticks or stones or trees, so that we would have a choice to be in a relationship with him. God. He gave us a will. He gave us a soul. Inside of that is a will. And every human being, because they have a will, is also in a battle. So inside of us, there are desires that are battling to feed our soul. There's desires to be fed by God himself and his presence and his nearness and his word and his love and his grace and his mercy. And there's desires in us that want to be fed by the body, and we want to crave things in the world, the created being. Now, this is important. Just because I have a desire does not give me an identity. My desire is not my identity. The desire is simply fuel for the soul, and I get to choose what's going to fuel my soul, and that becomes my identity. James 1 says this, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So there it is. I'm not the enemy, they're not the enemy, but there's a desire that fuels my soul. And when I choose to allow my soul to be fueled by the things that long for the created, it births this thing called sin. And sin becomes the enemy, and sin mars and breaks, tears down and alienates. Sin has cut off a relationship not only between me and God, but between me and my spouse, me and my children, me and my friends, me and my neighbor. Sin has become the marring enemy on the Imago Dei. Colossians 1 says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So while I have never been created to be the enemy of God, the sin that I've chosen to allow into my soul has made me an enemy in my mind of God and His goodness and His will here on planet Earth. And this enemy is raging in not only my soul, but it's raging in our homes. This enemy is raging in our neighborhoods. This enemy is raging in our churches. And so while you and I were specifically designed to be in a loving relationship with God, our sin, our will and our attitudes have been fed by the evil desires of our flesh. It has placed you and me in opposition to God and His will in the world. But even marred by that, Paul writes in Romans, he says, God demonstrates His own love that while we were still marred, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we live in a world of image bearers that have become marred, and that sinful marring has made men and women appear unlovable. But God, in His incredible love, even went through that. He did it through the cross of Christ. He's poured out His love to you and to me. And watch this. He invites you and I now as the loved image bearers of God, redeemed from our desires and our sin. He invites us to now do the same. To look beyond the marring, to look beyond the sin, to look even beyond that detestable ideas, thoughts, and behaviors of the people around us, and love as we have been so deeply loved. The question is, Will we be the image bearers of God, not just in our flesh and in our original design, but will we be the image bearers of God and His Son, Jesus, in a world today that so needs it? You are so deeply loved. You matter. You matter so much that God sent His one and only Son for you so that you would be redeemed. As you step into that, will you also step into His mission? Will you also step across the great divides that have been created in our day, in our time, in our hour? And will you with me ensure that tragedy no longer wins, but the grace and love of Jesus will win? I'm going to pray here in a moment, and I'm going to pray that in your heart and then in your home and then in our life together, that you would be, that we would be the image bearers of God. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, how could we do anything else other than thank you? That you intended for us to bear your image, yet we have fueled our hearts and our lives by desires for the created, We have even allowed those desires to define us. Sometimes we even take on those fleshly desires and call them our new identity. But you, Jesus, have freed us from that. You have come and you have removed the power of sin, and you have wiped it away, and you removed the alienation so that a person like me could be close to you and could be redeemed beyond this life. Thank you for that. Now I'm asking that this same incredible act, character of love that you have poured out on me, you will now pour out through me. I pray it would start in our homes. Father, I pray that we would look across the table. We would look across the living room. We would look across at the people in our lives for whom there has been much pain and hurt. And we would choose to live love just as you have loved us. And I pray as we begin to live this love and grace in our homes, that we now also begin to live it in our city, in our church, in our world. I remember that on that last night, as you were gathered with your disciples and you shared a meal together, just before you were led off to crucifixion, you looked at your guys in the eyes and you said, "A new command I give you. Love one another." And may we be your image bearer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
So grateful this morning to be in the presence of God, who has set us free from the very sin that keeps us from being able to love well.
Yeah.
He has done such a great work, and just sitting and thinking about the truth of what you were sharing this morning, John, and praying that we can walk in that freedom to truly, I mean, we've been set free for a purpose, and that is to love and see people the way that God does. So thank you so much for that powerful reminder.
You know, we spend so much time lamenting that our world lacks love. We spend so much time lamenting and criticizing other people for how they respond to tragedy, difficulty, yeah, differences.
Yeah.
And rarely do we stop for a few moments and say, well, what about me? And maybe this is my opportunity.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's where the change begins. It begins when we see ourselves as the image bearer. And too many people I know are walking around with like so much like disdain for themselves.
Wow.
And I hope that today some of you who are walking around with so much disdain and shame would be able to release that. And we're walking around with so much like, you know, anger towards others. And I pray that we'd release that. And instead, just embrace the grace,
wow,
and then live it out in our world.
Having our eyes sort of raised up to get outside of just flesh, you know, in this physical realm, and remembering the reality of the spiritual truth that we heard today, I think is so vitally important for the church to really be what God intended. So I hope that you were encouraged this morning, and that it's just been a great time in God's presence. A lot of people have been sharing prayer requests this morning, And before we share some of those, we want to take a minute for giving back to God. And to kick off, because it's part of our worship every week, we want to say thank you to our, ready, drum roll. We have a September Volunteer of the Month. So I don't know when we started doing this.
Well, we're going to do it all month long. We're going to be recognizing some of the really fantastic people who give back in so many different ways. And so every week you're going to get to hear and be introduced to some pretty high level volunteers.
It so connects to what you're saying, because it's you know, when you see a servant leader who's mm-hmm. just living out love. Oh my word! Yeah. What draws you near to God and just kind of reminds you of what God's done in you. And so Zucel Sanchez, if you haven't had the blessed opportunity to meet her and her precious family, Zucel, we celebrate how you have served God's church here at Discovery, and you are our Volunteer of the Month. So thank you for remembering that you're an image bearer and calling that out in others through your service.
Yeah, thank you very, very much.
Giving back to God is just a moment to respond to how God's been speaking to you this morning, and there's opportunities to give online. And as you know from what we shared earlier, Discovery's got exciting things coming up, and none of the ministry, having a place to meet, the technology happens without the generous giving of God's people. So we encourage you to take a minute as part of your worship.
Please do.
To give back.
It's an important part of your worship today. And just a reminder, we don't have any hindrance inviting you into this. We believe that this is very scriptural. This is very what very much God has called us all to do, is to live out a life of real, tangible generosity.
Right.
And so this church and God's church is the absolute best place for you to live out your generosity. So join us in this journey.
John and I were in a short little road trip with a Discovery member last week, who was thinking about, you know, the impact on his own life of being a Levite. He was talking about how...
What's a Levite? Tell us what a Levite is.
Oh, a Levite has been traditionally a team at our church, because we've been a church that sets up in a school or another location. Our Levite team, they meet early every Sunday morning, and they've set up our place of worship for kids and families. Mm-hmm. And he was just saying how that very just opportunity to serve changed his life.
Yeah.
And it created friendships and connection within church. And so, yeah, we don't hesitate to invite people in to giving and to serving. We pray that you'd find a great place to do that through Discovery. We have a lot of prayer requests this morning, and I'm going to read some to you. If you want to jot them down, that's great. And then we're going to join together in prayer this morning.
Do it.
We have several of our Discovery members who are part of school. That is their place of service and ministry, and as counselors, as teachers, administrators, and they're asking for God to go before them for very focused planning for their students, safe, protected space for their students to come and learn and have their needs met as learners, obviously, and as image bearers. So we're going to pray for educators. We have people within our church that are asking for prayer for family members' health, for physical health, mental health. We're going to pray over that. We have people asking for prayer for the Christian church in Afghanistan and for God's presence to be stronger than ever for the people there. I'm sorry, I'm just reading some of these that are just now coming in. A family who is preparing for a memorial for their son, praying for God's blessing as they want God to be glorified in that. People going through some moves and renovation and changes in life and asking for God's peace in their home as they're going through those challenges. Lots of college students going back to school, praying for Discovery's next step with Lincoln High School. A friend of ours who's been taking opportunity to hand out God's word in some public gatherings, praying for continued wisdom in those gospel conversations. So lots of prayer requests this morning. Would you join us as we pray over them? Let's pray.
Our Father, thank you that we get to come and bring these requests to you. Father, our heart is heavy for a family who's preparing to do a memorial service for a son.
Yes, God.
We want to just stand shoulder to shoulder with that family as they walk through this. Father, we also want to pray for the educators that are, at least here in the Northwest, are going to be opening up doors of classrooms,
yeah.
And they're concerned about making sure that there's adequate space and there's safety for everybody involved, and so we want to pray for that.
Yeah.
Father, there's just been this rising COVID and this Delta. We're praying, Father, that you would bring us some relief from this, Father, that there be a turning away from this. Of course, God, we agree the whole time we want to learn and be shaped by whatever difficulty, but we're asking that this would be removed, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we're praying for new jobs, and we're praying for just continued healing in so many different ways, Father, mm-hmm. for people in this church. May you bring healing, Father,
yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
God, we pray for these who are boldly wanting to be in the community mm-hmm. right now and sharing your word and sharing gospel conversations. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lead those moments and that your gospel would be held out and received in the city of Tacoma. Mm-hmm. God, we thank you so much for people within our church community who are asking prayer even for the next steps of discovery as we make this significant change. God, we are asking together that we would be a taste of heaven in the community at Lincoln High School. Mm-hmm. This space that you've placed us in so many years ago, help us to continue to be your hands and your feet. We also have mm-hmm. prayer this morning for Bethlehem Lutheran Church. God, we pray that this church who allowed us a space to meet here and in Lakewood, we pray your continued blessing that mm-hmm. these churches would thrive. We thank you for their generosity to us during this season. God, we pray that your name would be high
yes,
and Lord. Lifted up and that you would draw all men and women and children to yourself. We pray these things in your powerful name, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us. Just a quick reminder
yep.
is that this time next week, we're going to meet a little bit later. We're going to start our live stream 10, maybe a little bit before 10 o'clock. And so we'd love for you to join us and be praying for this whole transition. It's a lot fast.
Yeah.
And
is there a fireside chat this coming Thursday?
There should be a fireside chat. We're trying to kind of give you a little more information that comes along because it's yep. coming fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, join us next week. Be praying for us. Jump in with us if you can. But if you can't, be praying like crazy that God
Please.
Would use this season in his church for his glory.
Yeah.
And God bless. Have a great week.